Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show with G. Wright.
The Heart of Love.
Ooh, yeah.
Radio Show.
Radio Show, yeah.
The Heart of Love.
The Heart.
Radio Show.
Radio Show.
I'm about to bring you on in a minute. This is Reverend Dr. G. Wright coming to you live from the D.C. Baltimore area, and I have a special guest who I'm about to bring on in the next few seconds, none other than Kipper Jones, world-renowned singer, songwriter for artists such as Brandy, Biggest Hits, and as well as Vanessa Williams and so many other artists in the industry. So I'm about to bring him on. And you are listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show, and I'm about to bring him on Facebook Live as well. Kipper, how you doing?
Man, I'm awesome. I'm trying to figure out how to get on the visual.
I'm about to add you right now. I'm about to send you a request.
Okay.
I'm about to send you a request on Facebook. And I just sent you an invite. You should
see
it coming.
I see it.
Okay.
Yep. I see you with your mad rock and roll hat on.
Yeah. Now let me ask you, you got your earphones?
Yeah, I got my headphones on. Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Just click yes, and it's gonna let me know that you're about to come on. How you guys doing? What's going on, Sheree?
I don't see yes.
I see
you, but I don't.
Look, click on it. Just tap on it.
Okay, do it again, man. Do it again.
Okay. All right. Now you can request to be.
For all you people out there, I'm technically improficient.
Listen. In fact, while you on there, while we doing that, we're gonna bring TAZ because my big. Up there. What's going on, TAZ?
What's up, Cat? What's up? What's up, Kipper Jones?
Man, what's up, man? It's the king of Texas.
I got on the line with me my guest, Craig Anderson, music enthusiast, and also, I guess he's a DJ too, and he knows more music than me, probably. But we're fixing to find out.
It's truly an honor to be on the line with y'all. I mean, Jones, I know your resume. I'm impressed.
Uh-oh. Well, I was going to say, only believe the good stuff.
I just wanted to holler with my guests since we're doing the show. I guess first time in history, a show called a show. Greg, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. Someone's on the phone online trying to talk about my hat. Yes, I know it's big. And all right. Yes, it's a cowboy hat, and I'm wearing it. What's going on, Veronica? What's going on, Ron? She said, "Wow, that is a huge hat." I'm not gonna talk about her head. I'm not gonna do it. That's why my friend,
hey, it don't matter, G, right? Just say you got a lot of, you know, you got a lot of brains. You got a big brain. You know a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but I'm going to have a big brain, yes.
Yeah.
Big brain. thanks, fellas. Love y'all. Have a good show, man. I got to get back to my show. And G, right, just click me out, so I'll be on the line with Craig Anderson. Craig, you got anything to say to Greg and Kipper Jones.
Gentlemen, y'all have a great show. Like I said, it's been a privilege and an honor seeing Carl with y'all. Y'all have a great night and stay safe.
Yes. Great. Thanks to you, brother.
Thanks, you too. God bless you.
All right. Now, I'm out of here.
All right.
You guys coming on to Facebook Live, I have online none other than Kipper Jones. You know what, Tamisha, I need you to stay focused and stop showing off tonight, okay? I'm not trying to go there with you tonight on the show. Yes, I do have boots, and I have straps that go with it, too. You're talking about my cowboy hat. Now, I'm talking about Kipper Jones. I have none other than Kipper Jones. You're talking about my cowboy hat. So let's talk about Kipper Jones. And I also got to send a shout-out to my sister, Marjorie, who has come through tonight. What's going on, girl? I'm about to bring her on, get her to sing a little bit for you, Kipper. She's an awesome singer in the Atlanta area. That's my sister, Marjorie. So I might have to bring her on.
Nice.
I might have to introduce you to her so you can get her, so you can help write for her single, you know?
Hey, man. I'm always down to do that.
Right. Now I've tried to add you onto this thing, Kipper, but it says that you have been given an invite, and it's not given another invite. I just need you to click on that screen on Facebook, and it will bring you on.
I'm going to find it, and I'm going to do it again. Okay.
Look at the bottom.
Don't worry about me.
Yeah. So, hey, what's going on, guys? I hope you guys are doing well. It's Hard Love Radio Show. I have none other than the great singer, songwriter, Kipper Jones from the ATL, and when you guys came on, you heard my big brother TAZ come on, and TAZ had actually introduced me to this phenomenal singer, songwriter, R&B legend, actually probably about 15 years ago. It's been about 15 years ago, Kip.
Yeah. When I first moved here, yeah, it's been like 14 years because I had just come here from L.A., but by way of Texas. I lived in Dallas for 6 years before I ended up here in Atlanta.
Now, for those who listen, can you tell those who are listening while he's looking for his link to come on Facebook Live, can you actually tell them some of the hits that you've written,
Oh, goodness. I guess starting with Vanessa Williams, I wrote her very first single, which was called The Right Stuff. And two other songs on that album, her very first album. We did her second record, which was called The Comfort Zone in 1991. And I wrote that song as well, the title song, and another song on that album called Freedom Dance. And also at that time, I also wrote or contributed two songs to the Five Heartbeats. I guess some folks in your audience might know that very classic black classic movie called The Five Heartbeats. I had two songs in that film, and then after that we did Brandy's first album, which was 1994. And I wrote four songs on that album, which were I Want to Be Down, Baby, Broken Hearted, and a song called Moving On, all on that album. And, you know, when you get a hit in this business, the phone starts ringing. So I got a lot of calls, and we ended up doing Deborah Cox and my dear, dear friend Kenny Lattimore. I did his first two albums. His first song, Never Too Busy, I wrote that with Dave Hall. I think I did five songs on Kenny's first album two or three on his second record. But after that, like I said, the phone starts ringing, and it's Silk and Boys to Men and Tevin Campbell, and I'm leaving out people all over the place. Uncle Sam. But just, you know, lots of people, phone starts ringing. And so anyway, but those are some of the songs that you you and your audience probably would kind of recognize like right away, you know.
Yes, sir. You know, yeah, first of all, I got to say this. I commend you on that. You know, so this is not a lightweight. This is a heavyweight who is actually on the show, and I'm really, really grateful that he's come through tonight. I got my girl Shanice. Hey, Shanice. She just shared the video, and I'm going to get my mom on. Hey, Mom. And, you know, so Kipper, Kipper, you know, first of all, you're a man of God. You're a man of God. Yes, there are a lot of things that you do in the Atlanta area. I actually saw one of your shows with TAZ and my big brother TAZ and his wife, my big sister, Darlene. Probably about 14 years ago, we saw one of your shows. Are you still doing
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, right now it's kind of like COVID, so everybody's really trying to figure that piece out. There are some venues that are kind of, I guess, if you want to say, open to a certain degree, like maybe half capacity.
Right.
I know City Winery was trying to open to a half capacity thing, but that didn't work out. So they shut down until like March or April. But I think to be responsible now and to be safe, because we're having a lot of upsurge. If you're watching any of the reporting that's happening, we're having a lot of upsurge from the holidays. And
right.
That kind of thing. And I guess people think Atlanta's just wide open because, you know, they show these big parties and stuff people having on television. And I'm like, well, that might be them, but that ain't quite the case. We're just really trying to find out the best way to be responsible in terms of accepting performances and that kind of thing. We played once. We did a gig second week of December.
Yeah.
And but it's nothing regular at all. And you know, we even were very distanced that evening. And so we're just really trying to make sure that we, you know, are responsible in this time.
Yeah, and I understand that. I appreciate that. I'm glad you said that. You know, I have to say this. My sister Marjorie said this. She wrote Hearing your song list, she's talking about hearing his song list. Resume took her back down memory lane. You know.
yes, indeed. I call the '90s like the last great era of good R&B music. I may be a little partial because I had some degree of success during that time, but I would hold it up to anything that's going on right now. That's not to bash anybody or anything. I just think that there were some extremely classic and lasting moments that happened during that time. You know. Now I'm on the page now. What I got to do, Gary? I'm on the event page, and I click going. What else I got to do?
Yeah. She said it really was. That's where music was music. Yeah, that is true, Marge. That's where music was music. You have to go to the event page. Just go to, and where you see the video of me talking, you see the video of me talking?
Nope.
Go to my page.
Go to your page. Okay, go to Gray's page. G-Right, right here. Bam.
So you can go to Greg, you can go to Greg. You can go to Gregory Wright. Yeah.
I did. I don't see you on there talking nowhere.
I'm gonna send you this link to your and put it in your inbox. Yeah, so actually go to
okay.
I'm sorry guys, when you're having one of these moments.
I apologize, everybody.
Hey, listen, this technology, we're all growing together. I just sent you this link and just go. And go to it right there.
Got it. Click it. Uh-huh. Ah, there you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
How you doing?
Now I see you. Now, if I click on that.
Now look on the bottom of the screen. You'll see something that says add. You see, or see something that says add to be added into what's going on, Reggie? What's going on, Jamal? Well, that's my mom who said, back in the day when music was, fantastic. Yeah, so true. That's so true. Yeah, so just go on my page. Let's go on my page right now.
Mm-hmm.
And look in the bottom. Mm-hmm. You can see it. Request to be added. You can see it looks like a picture and a small picture in it. You see it?
Uh-huh. Active, well, comment, avatar, insert emoji, picture with a picture. No. That's a pause button. Hi, comment, settings, enter full screen, volume.
I know.
Yeah, said, clock.
You hit decline? What do you say, Tim?
Everybody's comments, so at least that helps. I don't see that picture with a picture.
In fact, just say something. Just say something, Kip.
I'm talking. Can you hear me talking? Can you hear me talking? Hello.
Marjorie is saying, yes, can you make music great again? Now, you're on here, and you see me, right? You see it says live, Kipper?
Yeah, I see what this live.
I want you to try to figure it out. We're going to keep on going with the interview. We got to do it like this.
I'm going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. For those coming back, let me tell you this. So, Kipper Jones, like my sister Marjorie was saying, as he was reading this list, this takes us back to memory lane. And Marjorie was saying, yes, can we make it again? They said they can hear you. But he wants you guys to see him, so he's trying to work through that, Marge. He's just trying to work through that, you know. But I'm a cowboy tonight. Everybody's clowning in tonight. Yeah,
everybody got
jokes. I mean, with a cowboy, come on now. Let me ask you this question: who were some of your inspirations when you were growing up? You wrote some great music. In fact, even before we go to the inspiration, what was going through your mind when you wrote "Comfort Zone"?
Comfort Zone. Let's see. Okay, so we had already done the Light Stuff, you know, her first album, and so we were already there. And one thing that I like to do when I'm writing for someone is to have a conversation and try to figure out like where your head is. That's kind of where I come from a lyrical standpoint. If I can figure out like how you speak, what your interests are, where your life is right now, that kind of thing, and then we kind of go from there and kind of have a conversation and take the lyrics from that conversation and make a story. I don't know if that makes sense to people, but that's kind of how it happens for me. So we were I took a meeting with Vanessa. She was working on a film. Oh, I can't think of the name of this movie, but it was with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. And,
right.
So she was on the set, and she just asked if myself and Ed Eckstein, who was the company president at the time at Wing Records, if we could just like come up to the set and just hang out, and we could talk about, you know, this next record because we're about to get started. So we took the meeting, and she, you know, was talking, and I said, well, so how are you feeling right now? I mean, you know, what's going on with you? And she was like, I don't know, man. I'm in a great place. I'm just in a real comfortable place, like in my, like, comfort zone, you know? And I was like, that's it. That is it. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get with my boy, Reggie Stewart, and I. We got hooked up, and he put that track together. I wrote that song, and like, I mean, I can't tell you how quick that was. It was really like maybe in a couple of hours we were done. And I took it back to Ed, and he was like, that's it. Played it for Vanessa, and she was like, okay, let's go. And so that's kind of how it, that's kind of how that happened. I will also say that just because that one happened that way doesn't say that that's always the way it happens.
Right.
Inspiration comes from everywhere, and nothing happens the same way. It's always, you know, something different that that calls it into being. You know, it may be you know, somebody's looking for a certain song that says something, or you know, it just never happens the same way. But that's just kind of the way that one happens. So it's crazy.
You know, thank you for sharing that, Kipper. Now, you guys got that, mm-hmm. right? Now, Kipper Jones and Kipper, my boy Reginald, I'm not saying my boy Reginald, I'm saying Elder Reginald, Overseer Reginald. I'm saying my boy Reggie. No, we're on live. Overseer Reggie, my mom was saying, click on the green icon. Now, if you're looking at the thing, click on the green icon. Because are you watching it on Facebook? Are you watching me on Facebook? You got to click on it. Click on to the thing so I can see that you're watching. See it? Are you looking at me? Are you looking at me live? Tip?
Who, me? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're on Facebook live?
I'm on Facebook Live all day long. I there ain't nothing to click on to tell you that I'm here. I can go like this. Did that work? Yep.
Yep. Okay.
That works.
All right. Well, how come yours is different, Kipper? Okay. I've already invited you.
I'm here.
On Facebook? Are you on Facebook? Or are you looking at Facebook? Are you logged in?
Yeah.
Oh, yours?
Yeah.
Okay, yours just came in just a little different from everybody else. But I'm going to try. I think it's because I've already sent you an invite. I've already sent you an invite, so it's not allowing me to add you again. It's not allowing me to add you.
That's crazy.
Marjorie has
it. So sorry. I wish I could see where that is.
It's okay, but I see you here. Listen, Kipper, my friend has a question for you. Go ahead, Marge.
Okay.
Just ask a question, Marjorie. Just type it in, and I'll read it to him. Well, I guess you can
see it.
Oh, he'll see it. Go ahead, Marge. What's going on, David?
I can see.
Okay, while that question,
hey,
while she's typing,
David Franklin.
Yeah. So while she's doing that, I'm glad you said what you said, Kipper, about the whole thing about the songwriting. That doesn't actually happen the same way each and every time. The process might not. It's about almost like the right timing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real I don't want to say chancy, but it's just when it's right, when everything kind of falls in place and everything is, you know, it's divinely inspired. I know that sounds very trite, but I'm glad your audience is a audience of believers, so they understand what I say when I say that it is divinely inspired. You know that God's hand is in it, because you're not turning the knobs. You're just really kind of just yielding yourself, and it's happening, and it's like wow, you know. And so you just, you know, the thing that you really want to do is just avail yourself and just make sure that you are a willing vessel, and that it can just, you know, the gift can kind of happen through you. You know. I see Marjorie's call a question now. What was the one song you wrote that you didn't think was a hit that became huge? That's interesting. I don't think I have one of those. I know. I hear a lot of people say stuff like that all the time. Well, I didn't think that song was gonna do much. But I will say this, though. I've been here. I've heard interviews with Brandy when she says that she didn't really like I Want to Be Down. She didn't. She just didn't care for it at all. But, I mean, she was 14 at the time when we started working on that record, so she didn't have a whole lot to say about it. And so it just kind of came out and became, like, probably, like, one of her biggest singles, period. I mean, she can't do a show now and not sing that song. I mean, it's her My Way. It's her biggest record, you know. Yeah, you heard it too. Yeah, my dear said she heard her say that as well. I've heard Frank Sinatra, you know, back in the day say that, you know, he didn't really care for My Way, but he wasn't going to be able to get off the stage without singing it, you know. And so that's kind of how that works. But no, I don't think I've ever written a song that I didn't think was going to do well that ended up doing well. No, I've written songs that I thought that would do better.
Right.
So, you know, the other way around. But no, I don't think so.
And let me switch. So was there a song, let's say that someone got you to, wanted you to, you know, requested for you to write for them, and it took you a long, long time to get it? How long does it take? What is the process like for writing a song?
Yeah, man. So there was going back to Brandy's first album, we had done I Want to Be Down. We did Baby, and our camp did Best Friend as well. I didn't specifically write on that song, but that was the same group of people that we were, you know, working with to do Brandy's record. But Sylvia Rhone, who was the president of the label at that time, wanted a ballad for Brandy, and Keith had given me this track to write to, and I had the track, and I just, nothing was coming, and I just couldn't figure out what to write or what it was supposed to say. It was just like, Brandy was 14 at the time, and I was, what, 32, 33, something like that. And it was like, I'm a 30-plus-year-old man. She's a 14-year-old girl, and I don't know what she should be singing about, and in a ballad anyway. I mean, you know, it's like a, you know, so I had to really think about that piece, man, and I'm like really trying to figure it out. And so then I'm like, okay, sit down and just pay attention. Who is her audience at 14 years old? Well, other 14-year-old girls. 14-year-old girls, what do they talk about? Well, they talk about boys, right? I mean, that's what they do at 14. And, you know, what do? They get their heart broken and they, you know, what? So what should she be saying to other 14-year-old girls? And it came, I guess I'm only brokenhearted. Life's not over. I can start again. It's like, so I got my heart broke, but I got to get up and get over it and move on. So once that finally came, then the rest of the song just came like a stream of consciousness. I'm young, but I'm wise enough to know, you know, and it just started pouring out. And then that chorus just came. Well, I guess I'm only brokenhearted. Life's not over. I can start again. And it just came. Now, this is after weeks, and Keith had called me, and he said, Kipper, they need that song, like, right now. And I was just like, that's it. And then when it came, man, it just came all at once. And,
wow,
you know, and that was it.
I love how that works. I love how the inspiration comes. Sometimes those songs come and it might take a long time, one song, but when it comes, it feels so good. It does come.
Oh yeah, it's incredible. It's you look back and go, wow, was that me? It's like, what in the world? You know.
Now I gotta say this. Marjorie says this. That's pretty freaking awesome. Faith in your gift. Love it. Yeah. To me, in the background is amazing. Yes. Yes. You know. Let me ask you a question. I would like to play one of your songs right now, if that's possible. Which one would you want me to play?
Oh, wow. Let me see.
You Ain't Living, Wishing on a Star, and then Sit Down.
Play Sit Down. That's probably more representative right now, I think.
Yeah. And can you give them a little backdrop on about this particular song?
On that song? Sure. So this particular song is actually me singing, and it can be found on an EP that I released in 2016 called The Basement Files. But what this song is, I have a cousin who was an incredible background. What you know about Wishing on a Star?
Put
that on there. But my cousin was a phenomenal basketball player in high school, and he ended up he went to UNLV. He played I think he was Final Four in his freshman year. They went to Final Four, and then he started getting a lot of attention and everything and stuff. And but he blew his knee out, so he didn't get drafted. He ended up playing like overseas. And all that kind of stuff, and he was sending his money home to you know, for people to hold for him, so when he got back he would be able to, you know, get on his feet or whatever. But when he got home, there was no money and there was nobody there or whatever, and he just showed up on my doorstep and he was like, "Yo, help." And I was like, "Bruh, go take your stuff in there, bruh. I got a house, you got a room." So this is the story of that kind of came out in a song, and I wrote it, and it's called Sit Down, and it's, that's it.
Thanks so much. We're going to talk about this once we listen to it. Guys, this is Kipper Jones.
I lost you.
Kipper Jones. That right there is, that's hot, Kipper. That song is hot. How many guys love that song? How many guys love that song, Sit Down? I love that song.
Man.
What did your cousin say when he actually heard that song?
Oh man, he still tells people all the time. Now my cousin wrote that song about me, and you know, he tells everybody that's his song. There are a few songs that I've written that are out of real experiences. There was another song I wrote about another cousin, a cousin of mine. And it was on Kenny Lattimore's first album. It's a record called Always Remember.
Oh, yeah.
So it's,
Will you sing a little bit of that?
How does it go? It goes, I could watch TV tonight, or I could practice my smile. I've got nothing left to do since you're not here by my side. Now the only place I'd ever go is moments at a time. Then I'd hurry back to be by your side. Yeah, nobody knows till you've been lonely quite what it feels like when you lose your love. So now I know that I promise I'll be true, and I'll leave the light on, and I hope that I'll find you always. Remember, I'll be here waiting. You know, always remember. Yeah, that's it. Something like that. It's been 100 years.
Yes, Kipper,
but
definitely.
But
blessed.
It was I had a cousin who was who had a drug issue, and
right.
She was not doing well. And I was just so angry with her, and I wanted to do something bad to her. And my grandfather said, No. That's not how you handle that. You never know when somebody is going to get it together and be all right. So you have to always remember that, you know, you need to be there for them when that happens, because that's what we have to, you know, look for and pray for. And,
oh, right.
And so that's what that song was about, you know.
I got to tell you, it's great to hear about the background to some of these songs that we really, really love. You know, it's amazing to hear some of these songs. And, I'm inspired. I get inspiration from words or phrases that people say as well. You know, so it's great to hear you and how you got that inspiration to write that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's things that happen to me. It's things that you see happen to other people. You just, you know, just being observant, you know.
Yeah. And let me ask this question. Since we're on this part, now I'll get to the inspirations and some of your musical inspirations in a minute. But where did you? One thing that Marjorie had said when she was on here, I'm not sure if she's still on here. The thing about having that faith in your talent. Was there ever a time when you felt like, I'm not the best songwriter, I'm unsure if I can really do this?
Oh, sure. Sure. I think every time you set out to do it, you have those apprehensions. And I don't think it ever goes away. You know what I mean? And I think if it does go away, you're probably too confident. Or I don't know if you can be too confident, but you might be bordering on cocky or arrogant or something. And I think that the word that she used, not to dissuade you or anything, but what she said was faith in your gift.
And I think
I really understand. Over the years, I really understand the difference between a gift and talent. You know, you can be talented, you can have talent, but understanding that you were gifted, that it is a gift that you are in custody of or in stewardship of, really kind of makes it different. To acknowledge the gift is to acknowledge the giver, and you have to understanding that you didn't do this yourself. You were selected, you were chosen to be gifted, and so I don't claim this gift. I just am grateful and try to be the best steward of it that I can. You know.
Amen. I love that. Margaret said yes, sir. I love the way you say that, because, you know, sometimes when people might feel like, oh, I'm great, I've heard people say, I love to write, but I'm afraid to write. What if the person's not going to like my writing? And they struggle with that gift, struggle with it. But I feel like at some point you have to, like you said, humble yourself. I think you said humble by being humble, right? Humble yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, humble yourself and say, Lord, you know, you blessed me with this. I feel like the people I'm supposed to reach, and just go ahead and do it, because you don't know whose life you're going to change or touch. So That wouldn't be right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that those things start to happen. When you make that acknowledgement, you really start to see how far it can go, how vast and how deep it can really go, how great you can actually be when you really just give that acknowledgement and understand that, you know, you didn't gift yourself. You were gifted
right.
by a giver, you know, a God, a being who said, you know, I choose you to be the steward over this because I think that you will use it and not, you know, not sit on it or not degrade it or any of that kind of stuff. So you have to be, you know, conscious of all of that when you're operating in your gift, you know.
Right. You know,
mm-hmm.
can you read? I wrote something. Can you read that? Do you see it?
Hold on. I checked out because I was trying to go back in and see if I could find your hold on. What'd she say?
She said it's more pressure when you have to produce as opposed to producing freely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like, you know, I kind of spoke earlier about the deadline issue, about having to be done at a certain time. You know, that pressure is like, ooh, it's that crazy. But when you can just do it, like, you know, without the pressure of a deadline or that kind of thing, yeah, it is, it's easier, you know. So...
Let me ask you a question. Who are some of your inspirations?
Mm-hmm. You asked me that earlier. I didn't get a chance to answer. I have inspirations probably for every aspect of my life, and that includes the music part too. So musically, like songwriting, my favorite songwriters are like Smokey Robinson, is probably number one. I love great, clever writers like Sting, like Stevie in his classic period, Prince in his classic period. There are just some writers like Will Jennings, certain lyricists, Rod Temperton. I really paid attention to song crafters and people who really knew how to create pictures with words. Think that the best songwriters are can make the most visual images with their lyrics, and that's kind of what I've always held on to. And when I preface this by saying, you know, I have influences for every part of my music or my life. Like for singing, Luther Vandross, Felipe Wynn from the Spinners are two of my absolute favorite singers ever. Marvin Winans, and then I like the falsetto guys like Bobby DeBarge, whom I adored, is my dear friend, Eddie Kendricks from Temptations, Ron Banks from the Dramatics. You know, I like the falsetto guys. They were my dudes. Howard Hewitt, Lenny Williams, who I'm a huge fan of, who I had the opportunity to write for a few years ago, and people like that. And then there's the performance aspect of the stage piece. And when it comes to the stage, Prince, David Bowie, Luther in his heyday with the band, with the girls and the pit singers, Michael Jackson, of course. I love performers. I used to do a performance coaching course. And I always make sure to tell the kids that, you know, when you're on stage, you're in charge. You are in control. You got the microphone. It's your show. Everybody's listening to you, and everybody's paying attention to everything you do. So when you do something that's like you think nobody saw it, forget about it. Everybody saw it. So make sure you meant to do that. You know, you're in charge. You got the mic. You know, so those are like my favorite entertainers. Sammy Davis Jr., I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to leave him out. Who I consider the greatest entertainer ever. Let's see. Jeffrey Allen Perry said, I can't really hear you. I'm in Chile. Okay, so I need to speak up. Okay.
Oh. Out of Chile.
Huh?
He came in late. Oh, he can't hear.
Okay. Okay. Well, I get it. Well, I want everybody to hear though. I don't want anybody to miss anything. So those are my favorite performers. And then, as a lot of you know, or may not know, that I'm very involved in social activism, in terms of you know, voting registration, voter engagement, voter education, and that didn't just start happening, you know, over the period of time that we've had this last president, but I've been doing this for close to 10 years now. And I think I was very, very driven by the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. and also by the person of Congressman John Lewis, God bless his soul. So those people who marched and fought for our rights and privilege to vote and to be a part of this, an equal part of this society. Those are also some of my inspirations and my heroes. But at the end of the day, my number one hero and inspiration in my life was my grandfather, Matthew Herman James Sr., who was just my light through life. And so I always hold him up as my greatest inspiration.
My mother is my greatest inspiration. My mother, she and her sisters were, Motown wanted them back in the day, but my grandmother didn't understand, and their managers didn't tell my grandmother the right stuff. My grandmother said no, because my mom, I think her other sister were underage. But so Motown, they were back in the day. I'll let you listen to some of their music. I'll see a couple things after the show so you can listen to them. My mom was my greatest. And, you know, Kipper, I have to say, I'm glad that your inspirations are so vast. You know, listen, I was taking notes about you guys, but I'm taking notes. I'm not sure about you, but I am writing down notes because I want to learn some of your inspirations and check out some of these other artists I really haven't checked out before, looked at before. But Kipper, Tamisha, she had asked this question a few minutes ago. She wanted to know, who would you like to work with now? What artist would you like to work with
now? Wow. There are a couple of people who are just amazing right now. That I think are, I don't know. I don't even know if I can measure up to their greatness. There's a young man named Jacob Collier. I don't know if your audience is aware of Jacob Collier, but he is sick. He is absolutely ridiculous. And if you get the chance, look up Jacob Collier, Moon River. If you go to YouTube, there is an entrancing 8-minute opus of his arrangement of Moon River, and then you'll go down the Jacob Collier rabbit hole, and there's all this other great music that you'll find. But Jacob Collier is crazy. And then there's this other kid, and I think he's from L.A. Well, there's actually two of them, but one, his name is Javonte, Javonte. And he's really, really good. I was listening to him, and all I could think was, oh, my God, he sounds like a male version of Brandy. He's like got all the Brandy isms, all that, you know, it's not runs and stuff like that. It's soundscapes. I say that they paint soundscapes with their voice. They understand chords, like Jacob Collier as well. These kids, they understand, and I call them kids. I'm 58. I'll be 59 in another week. They paint these wonderful soundscapes. If you close your eyes, it's very visual, and it's just beautiful what they do on their with what they with their gift. So those are just a few of the people that I'm just really feeling right now. There's another young man, I can't think of his name. Oh God, it'll come to me in a minute. But yeah, those are just some of the people that I'm just really, really entranced with right now.
Yeah, right. No, I'm going to check those. I've heard of Javante, and I'm going to check out Jacob Collier. You know, I'm going to check these two out.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
Now, I
got to
say this.
Jacob Collier is sick.
Yeah. I don't know why people act like they have not seen a black guy with a cowboy hat. Standing, yes, he said cowboy night. No, it's not cowboy night. I said I'm going to put this hat on, and I don't care what anyone has to say about it.
I mean, that's rock and roll, bro.
Rock and roll. But you know, so I got this. You know what? I think I'm going to have to bring you on again, Kipper, because. There's so much more that first of all, you guys get this for free. This is an RB legend on this show. Is your house out front? You know what? I'm like, you don't be a clown. Don't be a clown. Don't be a clown. But you know, I say seriously, we have none other than Kipper Jones on. Online, and Kipper, you talk about your inspiration, talk about who you like to work with. Let's talk about your shows. Once things open back up, yeah, truly an honor. Once things open back up, what would you like to see happen for you in 2021?
That's an interesting question because I'm not sure that we'll ever go back to what we used to know as normal. I think we're going to see or be introduced to a new normal. I think things are going to be different. And we'll just have to see what that all looks like. But for me personally, I am working on a lot of, again, your audience might not know, but I am a student at the Berklee College of Music. I am in the music business degree program, and I'm studying to get my music business degree, and end up in the classroom giving back all of these now 40, this is officially 40 years in the business. 2021 is riding right into 40 years in this business. And so that couldn't have been all for me, but I have to use what I've been given and experienced and all that kind of stuff to give back to those who are coming in this business and wanting to learn and know and just share all of my, you know, all my stuff and all my experience and all of that kind of thing. So that's why I'm going back to school. And, that's a huge part of what I want to do with the rest of my life, like I said, end up in the classroom. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing because you're definitely giving back tonight. You are giving back tonight. Everyone's saying, wow. And I have to say this, wow. I want to say wow while you're talking. It's amazing to think that you have given 40 minutes in this. Wow.
Yeah, and I'm only 40, and I'm only 41. No, no, I will be 59 years old on the 25th.
That is a blessing. That's such a blessing, Kipper. That's such a blessing. You know, Kipper, I have to say this. First of all, it really is an honor to have you on here. Hello, 40 minutes. Yeah, I know, right?
Man, I'm the one who's honored. It is a pleasure.
What? Thank you so much. Now, listen to this. I have to play another song before we go. We might run over just a few minutes, and I come back for about 2 minutes afterward. But do you have time? Do you have time? I know you're a busy man.
No, sure, I got time.
All right. So let me ask a question. So which one would you like to play now? Watch Over Me, Going to Live At, or Wishing on a Star?
Well, because I think Keisha Reese said Wishing on a Star, I think we should do Wishing on a Star.
Okay, you get it, Sharice. You get it, Sharice. Oh, do you want to set this up?
Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to do since I've been in Atlanta is a house music haven. There's house music everywhere here. And I wasn't a big house music fan until I moved here, and then I just kind of fell in love with it. So I wanted to do a dance music EP, but I do know that, you know, with my band, it's an R&B homage. It's called Kipper Jones R&B Circus. And so I wanted to somehow kind of marry the two. I wanted to do something that was a classic R&B record, but do it in a housey kind of way. So the first record we did was a cover of Marvin Gaye's I Want You, done as a house record, which really came out really well, and that's the whole band playing live. But then the second record was a dear friend of mine, Cornelius Mims. I grew up in Los Angeles, y'all know that, and I grew up in a band called Tease, which was myself, Cornelius Mims, Chucky Booker, Rex Salas, Derek Atomic Organ, and Jay Shanklin. And we were, you know, just some of L.A.'s just dopest kids coming up. But so Cornelius came up with a track for this Wishing on a Star. We were about to do our 40th class reunion, and our theme song for our class in 1979 was Wishing on a Star. So he came up with this track. I ended up doing the vocals, and we were like, wait a minute, this is not just for the class reunion. This is a record. And so we were like, okay, well, so I ended up putting it, was going to put it on this EP that still has not quite seen the light of day, but the single was released, and so this is it.
All right, thank you. I'm about to put you on hold on mute on the other one, all right, but you're still with me, okay?
Got it.
And I gotta play it. I'm gonna play a song after this. But listen, I love that song. If you know me, when I hear a beat, I want to dance. So those who work with me and know me, when I hear a beat and a good strong beat, I'm ready to dance. Y'all not gonna. Some of them are clowning about my hat, so I'm not gonna dance in front of you guys. But I love that song. I wanted to dance, Skipper. Listen, I want to dance.
Well, that's the whole intent.
Yeah. Wishing on a Star. Listen, guys, you guys have to check the incomparable Kipper Jones on his website. What is your website, Kip?
Sure, kipperjones.com. Real easy. You won't miss it. But then at social media, all my other social media, I'm Uncle Kipper. Uncle Kipper at Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Everywhere you can reach me at Uncle Kipper. You can even send me an email at UncleKipper@gmail.
So everyone pretty much calls you Uncle Kipper, right?
Huh?
People mostly call you Uncle Kipper, right?
Yeah, man, that's what it is these days, and I'm good with that.
Uncle Kipper, so I'm not gonna get anything started. But honestly. Again, I have to say, I have enjoyed spending this time with you. I'm going to say Uncle Kip. I've enjoyed spending time with you you give me some homework. I'm sure he's giving you guys some homework, some things to really check out some of these other artists that he's whom he has said are his inspiration. You know, because you can learn so much and grow as a songwriter and even as a singer. I love what you shared tonight. And there are a couple more things, and I'm gonna have to have you on again so we can play some of your other music. Sharice said this was fun. Thank you.
Don't
give a shout out to my mom. My mom she's still hanging in there. She is hanging in there. So mom, thank you for hanging in there. Thank you. And my sister Marjorie is still on here. She's still on here, let's see. But I want to say, first of all, again, I'm blessed to have had you on the show. You're an R&B legend, and 40 years, you have a lot to give. There's a lot you've already given. Now I'm going to say there's a lot more that's in you that God wants to share with the world.
Amen. I receive that. I pray so. I feel like there is a lot more, you know.
Yes. So I will definitely be keeping you in my prayers. Kipper, hopefully you can come back on the show again in a few months with some more updates and play some more songs and sing and bring TAZ back in the house.
Sure. Yeah, you know, you got to be here.
Yeah, you got to do that. So is there any last minute thing to everyone before we leave?
Man, just a couple of things. For those of us who are in the creative community, I just want to share with you the three things that I always try to leave with people. One is to be open. Understand that, you know, we're never too old to learn or, you know, we couldn't possibly know it all. So be open. Be honest. I think more than anything, people appreciate authenticity. Don't ever try to be somebody else they're already taking. Just be you and be the best you can possibly be. And be true to that you, whoever that is. And lastly, be humble. And understand that, you know, again, we're gifted. We did not gift ourselves. There is a giver. And we are not the creator of every good and perfect thing. So be humble. And those three things I just want to leave with you. And then just to say that we live in a world right now that looks like it's out of control and crazy, but we have the power to shift that by just treating each other with a little more kindness. If we could just find it somewhere in there, call it grace, call it what you will, but it doesn't cost you anything to hold a door for somebody. It doesn't change your life to let somebody get in front of you on the highway. We don't know what that person is going through. We don't know what's happening with them. There's a great little speech that was a commencement speech called "This Is Water," which inevitably at the end of the day just says that we're all swimming in the same water together, and you know if we can just afford each other a little grace through this journey, it can shift the atmosphere. Truly be the change that you want to see in the world. I think that we can do that. I believe in people power, and I believe that God put us here to show that we can be better than we can be our better angels. I do believe that, you know. So, yeah, just treat each other with a little more kindness, man. It's a freebie, and it makes a big, big difference. So God bless you. God keep you is my prayer.
Thank you. And God bless you coming on the show, Uncle Kip. You know, but Kipper, none other than Incomparable Kipper Jones, a.k.a. Uncle Kipper. You know, very good. Good night. God bless. You guys for coming through tonight. God bless you. Please share this on your pages. And please check him out and his music as well. God bless you for coming through tonight, Uncle Kipper. None other than Kipper Jones. Kipper Jones. Appreciate you so much. And you guys have a good evening and be blessed.
All right.
This is it.